To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The Denver Post made a big mistake, a bias, prejudice, and they're reporting on Amendment 62. They got their headline wrong and the ratio wrong. They said 2 years ago that we lost by 3-1. They said this year we lost by 3-1. And if you round out the numbers, they should have said this year we gained ground and we lost by only a 2-1 margin, which would have been accurate compared to last year's 3-1, because we improved enough to make that difference that if you're going to round it out, we went from 3-1 to 2-1, but they misreported, Electa Draper, and I'll get to that story in a moment. That's on the homepage of Colorado Right to Life. Right now, you can see the Denver Post headline. You can see a spreadsheet showing the numbers. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART. Also, Ken Buck is trying to prove our point that he lost because he turned against personhood. He's saying, I didn't lose by 10,000 votes. I think it was less, and he's still hanging in there. And so he must be trying to prove our point that when he turned against the unborn child, saying that he would confirm pro-choice judges if elected, then the base, the personhood movement in Colorado that believes that if you are willing to tolerate or even to facilitate killing of a single innocent child, you're not qualified, you're disqualified, then that base began to work against Ken Buck and whatever he lost by. If he lost by less than the 10,000 that's now indicated, that's even more likely that he lost because of his buck-pedaling flip-flop. We also have Ms. Magazine wondering why there are not as many outspoken atheist women as men. That should be so easy to answer, right? Why are there not as many outspoken atheist women as there are atheist men? And of course, because women generally are not as reckless as men. Women generally are not as reckless as men. And you recall Pascal's wager. Pascal, a brilliant mathematician, forerunner of computer science, centuries ago. And Pascal, who was a Christian, said, well, look at it this way. If the non-Christian is right, if the atheist is right, it doesn't matter what you believe. You're dead, you're dead. If the Christian is right and you reject Jesus Christ, then you've got everything to lose. So the atheist has nothing to gain and the Christian has nothing to lose. That's Pascal's wager. And men are way more reckless than women are. Just look at the way men drive versus the way women drive. Men pride themselves on being better drivers than women, but women's car insurance rates are a lot lower than men's. Men get in a lot more of the accidents. Men are more reckless than women. So I think Ms. Magazine, their question could be answered easily, wondering why there are not as many outspoken atheist women as men, because women generally are not as reckless as men are. More women go to church, too, than men, don't they? And more women are pro-life than men, right? You know how a foolish pro-abort will say to a man, what right do you have to talk about abortion? Only women can. Abortion is a woman's issue. Well, Roe v. Wade was decided by 7 men, right? And liberals get especially angry when white men do anything. So it was decided by 7 men. So why would they support something that was decided by seven men? It's so absurd. But women are more pro-life than men are because women feel the baby in their womb kicking. And men like to use women, not all men, but many men like to use women and discard them or send them to Planned Parenthood and abortionists to be cleaned out so the next guy could use the same woman so that first guy doesn't have to care for her or her child for the rest of his life. Feminism, moral relativism, humanism is degrading toward women, and that's obvious, right? There was something interesting happened on Halloween. A guy was arrested. A 20-year-old guy was arrested for wearing a mask, and I think it's pretty cool. This was in Zebulon, North Carolina, and I like it for the connection to Islam. And women, forget about in Lebanon, women here in Denver, Colorado, walking to a neighborhood park in a full burqa with nothing showing but their eyes, little eye slits. And I'm out with my boys, and here comes some, maybe it's a robot, or maybe it's a guy, maybe it's a woman, but she's wearing a hood in public, and that should not be legal. It's too threatening. And so this guy, 20-year-old Lawrence Rogers, was arrested on Halloween for wearing a mask while he was not trick-or-treating. So police arrested him, and it turns out he was convicted in the past of larceny and other charges. So he's a criminal-minded type, and he thought it was funny to wear a hood over his face and had the excuse that it was Halloween, and he was warned once not to do it. He did it again, and he was arrested by the police. And at the time this story was written, he was being held in the Wake County Jail. So that's somewhat encouraging that people are remembering that you don't have the right to be a threat to other people in public like that. And that, of course, should apply to the burqa. And there are countries in Europe that are moving and that have moved to ban the burqa. And that's a good thing. Also, it robs the identity of women. I mean, women are robbed of their identity, who they are. And your face is a good part of your identity. And when you take thousands, millions of women and deny them an identity in public, I mean, it's such a disgrace. And we have our liberal media in this country that pretty much falls all over themselves to defend Islam. And why would they do that? You know, why would they do that? Why would they defend Muslims in the Middle East against the Jews? I mean, Jews are modern. The majority of Jews are modern in their worldview compared to, like, Saudi Arabia not allowing women to drive and being intolerant of religion. And there are no synagogues, no churches in the whole country of Saudi Arabia. And so you have a knee-jerk bias for Islam against what? Against the Judeo-Christian worldview, against the biblical worldview, because Islam stands against the Bible. And so that's why liberals have a knee-jerk reaction to defend Islam. Even though under Sharia law, many of them would have their heads cut off, they still are more comfortable with Islam because they intuitively know that Islam is in rebellion against Jesus Christ, Islam teaching that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. So now I want to go to Colorado Right to Life's homepage. By the way, it's been getting around the internet at bigthink.com and elsewhere that Amendment 62 going down was expected by many of the proponents that they would not win, but that this was a long-term strategy, part of a long-term strategy to make abortion unthinkable. And, you know, even though it's pro-aborts who wrote this, they've got a point. It'd be wonderful to win in any given battle. If you're on the right side, it'd be wonderful to win the war in any given battle, but that often doesn't happen. Winning a war typically is the culmination of many battles, including battles that you lose. But they're pointing out, like Matthew Nisbet and Trina Stout, that the whole point of doing things like putting personhood amendments on the ballot in places like Colorado is not to win immediately. It's to quietly mainstream what they call more extreme views on reproductive rights, banning abortion and banning birth control that kills tiny embryos. And they point out that many candidates, now more than ever, are expressing these types of absolute anti-abortion views. And they list some, including Republican Senate candidates Sharon Angle and Joe Miller and Christine O'Donnell and Rand Paul. They're confused about Rand Paul, but they list them there. And gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino from New York, openly stating, all these candidates stating that they oppose a woman's right to an abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. And that's helpful, of course, because we need to move the public into recognizing that killing a single innocent child is unacceptable. And that's happening. And thank you, by the way, to the Amendment 62 team. All right. So now we go to Colorado Right to Life's homepage, and they've got a bit of a spat developing with the Denver Post and Electa Draper. Because, let's see, the Amendment 62 election results analysis, and it turns out that the Denver Post has a headline, and I've got it right here. It's right on Colorado Right to Life's homepage. They've got a snapshot of it, and it's election 2010, personhood amendment fails by 3-1 margin. And it turns out that 2 years ago, the personhood amendment failed, and not quite by a 3-1 margin, but a 2.7-1. And so they exaggerate the defeat, and it's been widely trumpeted that it failed by a 3-1 margin. And if you're going to round out numbers, we all know how to round numbers. If you're going to round out 2.7-1, it's 3-1. And so the personhood campaign never complained about the assessment that they lost by a 3-1 margin. But there was an increase in the yes votes compared to 2010 that closed the gap. And if you're going to round it down, if you're going to round the numbers, then the ratio now is 2-1, not 3-1. And the Denver Post has the gall to report personhood amendment fails by 3-1 margin. And so it'll be interesting to see how this turns out, but apparently Colorado Right to Life is going to ask for a correction, and we'll see if that comes. But what should be printed in the Denver Post is, while their headline stated that personhood failed by a 3-1 margin, that was true 2 years ago, but due to an increase in the yes votes for personhood in 2010, they closed the gap to a 2-1 ratio. Went from 3-1 to 2-1. And of course, we're at the margins, but that's what's happened. And that's encouraging. And so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Conventional wisdom, only 15% would support a total ban on abortion. And in fact, I think, you know what's funny? I think there are pro-aborts that are still pointing to polls that are saying, well, only you know, only 20% illegal in all circumstances. Current pro-abort articles out this week are pointing to polls saying only 19% would support a total ban on abortion, and we just got 30%. So what? That's a 10% difference that Gallup can't figure out? Gallup should say, you know, we reported only 19% would support a total ban, but in Colorado, we found out, they polled over 1 million people. We only polled 3,000 people. They polled over 1 million people. It's not just your opinion. It's people trying to change the law. And we got 30%, 3 out of 10, saying to ban all abortion. It's child killing. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. So the conventional wisdom was 15% would support a personhood total ban on abortion, 100% ban. And the yes on personhood vote grew by 11% as compared to the percentage 2 years ago. Like the percentage of people who voted yes, that group grew by about 10%. So that went from 27% of the vote, which if you round it, you get 3-1, to about a 30% of the vote, which if you round it, you get 2-1. And that encourages us. So 30% of Colorado voted yes to ban all abortion, and that is with the opposition of the biggest names in the pro-life industry, and that's significant. You've got, for example, at lifenews.com, Steve Urtel, that's basically celebrating that the personhood amendment was trounced, that it got beat badly. Basically celebrating, and of course, he's a part of National Right to Life, and they opposed the personhood effort, as did Americans United for Life and Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, and the Archbishop in Denver, the Archdiocese, and there were a couple other groups that didn't want to lose funding from donors by opposing it, so they supported it very meekly, very tepid, lukewarm, send out a little email or put it on page B13 that you could vote yes on Amendment 62, and that was it. So to get 30%, and think about it, to change the law, you don't need 100%, right? You need 50% plus one vote. So there was another 20% needed, and the grassroots movement in Colorado had the entire pro-life industry against it. So imagine it when pro-lifers support something, they could accomplish some things. I mean, they passed hundreds of laws in the country, hundreds of regulations with exceptions, all of which undermine the right to life of the unborn child. So they can't accomplish something with the tens of millions of dollars they raise and all their efforts, whatever efforts they can put together, they accomplish something. So would they be able to add another 20% of the vote? Would they? If the Archdiocese came out strongly and said, of course we need to stand up for the God-given right to life of the unborn child. Of course we do, and it's always the right time to do the right thing. Could you imagine in Germany? Now, after the Holocaust in Europe, you had the people who really fought to stop the Nazis, like Corrie Ten Boom and Oskar Schindler and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the people who really fought to stop the Nazis or to save the Jews. And what did they all say? They all are devastated that they didn't do more. That's what they all say. You have the people who did almost nothing, and what do they all say? They all brag that they did way more than anybody could possibly imagine they did. They said, we did as much as we possibly could have done. You see, that's all you really have to know to find out historically if some group, some church, some denomination, if you want to find out what they did or didn't do, just look at what they say about what they did. And if they say we did everything we could, you know that they're one of the loser groups that did nothing. And if they say we should have done so much more, we failed, then you know they're one of the ones that really tried and risked even their lives to save a single Jewish person. And so could you imagine if during, and you don't have to go far to imagine, but during the rise of the Nazis and the hatred of the Jews, when people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer was trying to get the church to condemn Nazism and to oppose Hitler, and the church hated Bonhoeffer. The church hated Bonhoeffer. They didn't hate Hitler. They hated Bonhoeffer, an extraordinary Christian who's trying to get them to have a backbone and take a stand. And imagine if there was an archbishop in Germany who said, this is not the right time. This is not the right time. It's not the right time to argue that Jews are full people before the law. It's just not the right time. When will be a better time? After World War II? That'll be a better time? No, it's always the right time to do the right thing. So when we owned black people as slaves in America, where are all the denominations that led the fight to free the slaves? And just imagine an archbishop standing up in a new territory or in one of the slave states and saying, this is not the right time to advocate the personhood of a black. It's not the right time. Dred Scott needs to know his place. How dare Dred Scott take his case before the U.S. Supreme Court? Doesn't he know his place? Doesn't he know this is not the right time? And so that's Archbishop Chaput in Denver in the Archdiocese. It's not the right time. And National Right to Life, it's not the right time. And Focus on the Family really doing what they can to stop the personhood movement, but then begrudgingly giving as milquetoast online little blurb saying yes on 62, and that's it. I mean, they put out their headlines the week of the election, and the fact that there's a personhood amendment, the only pro-life amendment anywhere in the country that week in their home state of Colorado, and it doesn't even make their headlines on their internet newsletter. It's not even one of their internet newsletter headlines. It's like one pro-life group in Colorado put out a newsletter in October, and I was glad to see they included their December potluck. It was in their newsletter. October, you got to give people time, right, to plan. Included their December potluck, but they forgot to include a personhood amendment on the ballot statewide. So Colorado Right to Life and Personhood Colorado got 30% of the vote with virtually the entire pro-life industry against them. I think that's extraordinary. And just imagine if we were trying to free the slaves and you had the Catholic Church saying it's not the right time. Or you're trying to defend Jews and you have the Catholic Church saying it's not the right time. The courts are not right. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYART. Thornton, Colorado. Bo, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Bob. I just wanted to call and make a plea to your listeners. If everybody tomorrow could set aside 3 hours from 8 to 11, and let's try and just get a huge presence down at Planned Parenthood.
Wow, what a great idea.
Let people know that just because Amendment 62 is over, that we don't stop fighting child killing, and let's save these babies one at a time. Let's just put such a presence down there.
And because Amendment 62 failed, they are boldly scheduled to kill many children, probably about 20 children, tomorrow morning at right about 38th in Quebec at the abortion mill of Planned Parenthood. And by the way, that's right by a hotel, the Renaissance Hotel. It's right across the street. So 38th in Quebec, just go west a block and a half, and you'll see the pro-lifers there. What's a good time, Bo, to be there?
I usually show up around 8 o'clock, start setting up signs. Ken and Joe Scott, of course, will be there.
Ken and Joe Scott. And, you know, I would love to be there. I'm going to be out of state, leaving town today, right after the show, and I'll be back Saturday night. But I'm sorry that I can't be there. Bo, but maybe there could be, maybe someone could please go in my place, and maybe one person in the audience could go and be there for me, and maybe others can go and join. And, you know, it's also a good time of fellowship, Bo.
It is. We usually have a really good time down there.
Yeah.
You know, there's sad moments, but it's very uplifting, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. And our number, by the way, 1-800-8-NYARDS. We have someone just ordered from our online store every Bible study album we have, and that's a big chunk of the Bible. And that was real encouraging to support us. Boy, do we need your help. We've spent many months focusing on the personhood battle. Of course, we plan to continue that and fighting for people to see the evidence that our Creator God has made us. And we didn't evolve from slime. We're not animals, but we're created in God's image and likeness. We are moral creatures, therefore. There is such a thing as right and wrong. Moral relativism is a lie. And so we plan to continue that battle and fighting on other fronts, but we really need your help. And our number, if you'd like to help, 1-800-8-NYARDS. If you'd like to subscribe to a monthly Bible study or make a monthly donation automatic, or you could go to our website, kgov.com. kgov.com. And we have such a good time in the Lord and taking the gospel message to the public. So we just got to call somebody else. Scott and Debbie from Longmont will be at the abortion mill tomorrow morning to encourage others. And if you could head out, if you've never gone, don't be afraid. The Bible says perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear, and how true it is. And I remember in my life, I was not living for the Lord, and a friend invited me to fight against child killing, and all of a sudden your life gets into perspective. We have a good God, but he's also the judge for those who rebel. God bless you guys.